Take out your Bibles again, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, I came across a little bit more I wanted to share on mothers and what somebody said. And I wanted to share that with you here today as well. The myths of motherhood. Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody doesn't know that a child is carried in its mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know, once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a three-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books, but somebody never had a child stuff beans up her nose. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never said goodbye as her baby went away to college. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after a child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. You know, there's a lot of myths. I'm so thankful for mothers. And I'm thankful for their unseen works. And that's something that I think stands out to me now that I never understood until I experienced firsthand a mother's work in my day-to-day life with my wife. I regret that I didn't appreciate and understand all that my mom did. There's so many unseen things that a mom must do. In this passage in Matthew chapter 6, there's a phrase that's repeated three times. We read it in verse number 4. It's the last half of that verse where it says, "Thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly." We also find it in verse number 6, the last phrase again. "Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." And again in verse number 18, "Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." I'd like to speak to you on that thought today, and the unseen works of a mother. Let's ask the Lord to meet with us as we enter into this time. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today just thankful, again, for mothers. Lord, we're thankful for you. Mothers are your gift to us, Lord. It's your creation. It's all your mind and how you have cared for us from the time that we've been born, and giving us mothers and godly mothers most of all. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for Jesus. We pray that in all these things, you would be honored and glorified. As we look in these verses, let us see your heart, your mind, your will. And Lord, we pray that you would apply these truths to each and every life, mothers most of all. To your honor and glory, we pray that you would do these things. And by your grace, it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. This is a passage that's not directly written to mothers. I understand that. It's written to the whole of humanity, and in particular, to every born-again follower of Jesus Christ. But I want to take this passage and apply it to moms. In doing so, I trust that we will not miss the broad application of this passage, but that we will each take these truths and permit them to alter our lives. You may not be a mother here today, and yet these truths ought to touch your heart as well. There's this repeated phrase. We've seen it three times. "Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." In secret. That's where much of a mother's work takes place. The vast majority of mothering takes place outside of what society can see and witness. Much of what she does is not witnessed by her children or her husband. Motherhood, in its essence, is a very secret work. And it's in a secret work, and much that what's been done even after children go to bed. We talked about some staying up late last night. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, we're told that a candle goes not out by night. And in other words, she does much when others are finished with their work. And that's part of why a mother's work is unseen. Because she works while everybody else is sleeping. I've gone to sleep with my wife folding laundry many times. Making out a menu and a grocery list. Reading a book to be able to teach her children. Gone to sleep with her cleaning. Working on the budget. Gone to sleep with her, listening to messages, reading good books, studying her Bible to become a better wife and mother. All those things are unseen by society and even by her own family. Motherhood's also a secret in that society and outsiders can't understand or know a mother's longings. The longings a mother has to be a better mom. The longings to see her children turn out right and follow the Lord. The longings to just get a little bit more rest. The longings to see her children happy. The longings to spend more time and play with the children. So many different desires and longings. It's a secret, an unknown thing to much of the world. There's works that aren't seen by the outside world because they take place within the walls of her home. The heavy load, the disciplining, the cleaning and the laundry and the clothing and the cooking and the shopping and the teaching, and I could go on and on and on with all that a mother does behind closed doors. And because so many of her works are unseen, they often become unappreciated. It's funny that growing up, I could go take a shower, and every time I went and took a shower, I would use a towel. And I didn't learn this lesson until I got to college and I had to do my own laundry, that I can use a towel more than once. But amazingly, every time I went to take a shower and I opened up that little cupboard under the sink, there was a towel waiting for me. It was almost like after I used it, it respawned clean and folded, you know? Of course, I realized it didn't just happen by chance. My mother did that for me. You know, the sad thing is, I can't think of a time I ever thanked her for taking care of my laundry and for folding my towels. Not only does a mother rarely hear words of appreciation, but she often gets complaints when it should be appreciation she gets. Mom, why do we have to eat beans again? Not thank you for preparing a nutritious and healthy dinner in the midst of your stressful day. Not thank you for being conscious of the budgetary concerns for our family so that we're not broke. Not thank you for showing love for me and preparing a balanced diet. Just complaints. A few years ago, someone did some volunteer work here for us at First Baptist. They spent a lot of hours here, not for any sort of monetary compensation, not for praise of people. Very few people know the work was going on. In the midst of finishing that work, they were criticized for something that they had done. That stung. That hurt. That individual left the church over that. Having your labor of love scorned and criticized is an extremely hard thing, and mothers deal with that repeatedly. From children, from their husbands, sometimes from people outside the walls of their home. And every time it stings, it hurts, and it's hard. So much seems unappreciated. So much that she does seems not noticed. It seems belittled. It seems insignificant. The passage before us, there's some great encouragement for all the unseen work that a mother does. The first one that we find is in those words again, "Thy Father which seeth in secret." The first thing I want to do today to encourage you mothers in those unseen works is give you this reminder. The reality is, they're not unseen. Everything that you do is seen, is known, is cared about. In fact, the one, the only one that truly matters, sees and knows all that you do. I love the passages of Scripture which correspond with this one we can find in 2 Chronicles 16:9. We're reminded there of the Lord and how He sees and knows all. It tells us, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him." In Genesis chapter 16:13, here we read the words, "Thou God seest me." Now, it's interesting on Mother's Day to hear those words, "Thou God seest me," because do you know who spoke those words? A mother. And not just a mother in the midst of her daily duties, but a mother who was alone, a mother who felt very unappreciated, a mother who was running away from a mess that had been made in her home. And yet, in the midst of that confusion, in the midst of her being lost and feeling so alone, the Lord was there. And she uttered those words, "Thou God seest me." She knew God had a plan for her and for her child, and it encouraged her and got her back to the race that she had been called to. Psalm 139, we read the words, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." The psalmist concludes that passage by saying, "Search me, O God. Try even my heart." The Lord knows. The Lord knows all about us. It's interesting in that passage that there, as it speaks of the Lord's knowledge of us, all that He sees, all that He knows, it talks about how a child is fashioned within its mother's womb, and it says that God is there, that God is controlling that, that God is doing that. And that's a wonderful reality. But think about it for just a minute. It says God knows when a child is being fashioned by its mother. It's implied there. God knows not just the physical fashioning within inside the mother, but the fashioning in secret even as the child grows in its life. God knows. God sees. God cares. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, we meet that truth, that God sees us in what we do, but also He sees and knows why we do what we do. Again, in these verses that we read in verses 1 through 4, we notice what He said in verse number 1. He said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them." God knows not just what you do in secret today, but God knows why you do it. He sees the heart. You know, that reality is both convicting and comforting, isn't it? It's convicting that God knows why I do what I do. He's not just impressed with what's on the outside, with the work that I do, but God looks on the heart. That's a convicting thing. Ever in your life felt like you were able to hide something? When I was a boy, I was sharing in Sunday school class, when my cousins came along, we always got into trouble. I don't know why it was. There's probably somebody in your life, maybe there's still somebody in your life, and you're around them, you're going to do something you shouldn't do. My cousins came along, and one of the things that we did was we did prank calls. I don't know why, but for the longest time, we got on this kick, and we would do prank calls. And one of the prank calls that we made was to a televangelist in Texas. And we did it downstairs. We had it upstairs and downstairs. All the adults, my grandparents, my parents were upstairs. And so we're making these calls in secret. Nobody's going to know. Then my dad came one day with a phone bill and all these area codes in Dallas, Texas. And I'd been found out. You know, it's convicting to realize that God always knows. Those things that we think nobody knows, God sees. It's a convicting thing. But you know, I want to point this out today. It's a comforting thing. It's a comforting thing. Your children, your husband, they might criticize what you've done. They might ascribe to you wrong motives. God sees the heart. God knows why you're doing what you're doing. You may be falsely accused. You may be wrongly judged. You may feel taken for granted. But the one you answer to sees the truth. That's a comforting thing. He sees you and He knows you. And one day He'll make your hidden labor of love. What a comforting reality that is. And so today I want to give you that reminder. Notice a second thing in this verse though, and in that phrase, and that is this. A second encouragement to mothers is relationship. Look at what He says. Again, in verse 4, in verse 6, in verse 18, I love this phrase, "Thy Father, which seeth in secret, Himself shall reward thee openly." Thy Father. Notice here, Jesus did not say, and intentionally did not use the term Lord. He could have said, "the Lord which sees in secret." He could have said, "God who sees in secret." But He chose to use the word Father. It speaks of relationship. He utilizes the term which emphasizes and brings to our heart those notes of His love and His care for us in His possession of us. He, mothers, is your Father. I know mothers, as much as anyone else, need those tender terms, those endearing words of affection. He says, again, your Father sees. Your Father knows. Mother, it's not true that no one cares. It isn't true that no one appreciates what you do. It isn't true that you should just throw your hands up in the air and give up. It isn't true that there's no hope. Your Father cares for you. He takes joy over you. He rejoices that you are His child. He longs to bless and prosper you. He'll not withhold any good thing from you if you'll walk with Him. With God as your Father, there's confidence and peace and bright hope for you and for what you do as a mother. What a wonderful truth. Your Father sees. Your Father sees and knows. Words of relationship. Today, do you know Jesus? Do you know God as your Father? Can you say that He's your Father? There's some misunderstandings in our world today. Some people say, well, we're all God's children. I will say on one hand, we're His children in the sense we're all created by Him. But in a spiritual sense, it's not true. In fact, Jesus looked at the Jewish people and He said, "You're of your father, the devil." The reality is we're not born into the family of God by physical birth, but we must be born again. Jesus said, "Unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I don't care what kind of works you do when nobody's looking. None of your works can atone for your sin. It's only what Jesus did for you on the cross and shedding His blood to atone for your sin and rising from the dead that you can be saved. How do you get born again? You put your faith in what Jesus did. You call out to Him in faith, Lord, save me, change me, give me this new birth, bring me into the family of God. Without repentance and faith, it's impossible. The Word of God tells us in John 1:12, as many as received Christ, to them gave He the power, the right to be called the sons or the children of God. The ones who have the right are the ones who've received Christ. It says, which were born not of the will of the flesh. They were born not of blood. It's not their bloodlines. It's not the will of man. It's not what a church does for you. It's those who are born of God. It's you responding to the Holy Spirit work inside of you and that conviction, and you responding to what Jesus has done. You receive the gift of eternal life. Lord, save me. You're born again. That's how God becomes your Father. But then it becomes a day-to-day relationship. Mothers, in your day-to-day relationship, as your children depend on you day by day, never forget that you likewise are dependent on your Heavenly Father. Don't try to handle it yourself. I see my kids all the time. Can you open this package for me? Can you tie my shoes, even here this morning on the front row? Tie my shoes, please, Dad. They realize there's very little that they can do. Jesus said, as far as we are concerned, without Him we can accomplish nothing. In your day-to-day life as a mom, you need that relationship with God strong. Abide in me, Jesus said. Those who abide in me, He says, the same bring forth much fruit. Don't endeavor to be a mother apart from the power of God on your life. In this relationship, and only in the relationship with your Heavenly Father, in a vibrant relationship and walk with Him, will you bring forth much fruit. Notice in this passage, He gives us that reminder that God sees and knows all that we do. He gives us that relationship, Thy Father, which sees in secret. And notice a third thing, He also speaks of a reward. Aren't you glad for that? There's a reward for your labors. It's not in vain. It's not empty and fruitless work that you do. God who sees in secret, your Father who sees in secret, Himself shall reward thee openly. Again, verse number 4, I find it interesting, that word Himself. Notice that emphasis. Your Father which seeth in secret, Himself shall reward thee openly. He says, I'm going to be the one to give you what you have rightfully earned. I'm the one who's going to stand by and grant this gift to you. We hear the words of Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. What a wonderful thought. You know, the reward that you receive as a child of God, it's the reward of a father to a child. It's not a boss to an employee. Hey, I've had bosses who have been glad to bless me, but being blessed by your parents is much sweeter than that. My father rejoiced to reward me. My teachers were happy that I made good grades, but my parents were ecstatic. And this is a reward that comes from a father to the child. What a wonderful truth. There are rewards that we read about in the New Testament. There's a reward, the crown of life, for enduring testing times. And certainly mothers will be put to the test. There's a reward for those who exercise godly discipline. It's called the incorruptible crown. And being a godly mother requires much self-discipline. There's a reward for loving the appearing of Christ, the crown of righteousness. And a godly mother seeks to prepare herself and her children for the coming of Jesus Christ. There's a reward. There's a reward coming. It'll be given before all to those godly women who by faith and hope and love serve Christ in their capacities as mothers. The Lord who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. What a wonderful truth. In all of these things, in the reminder of how God sees all that we do, in the relationship that He brings back to our attention again, in that reward, it's an encouragement to do those unseen works. In this passage, there's a response. There's three works that are emphasized. Certainly works for the mother, as well as for each of us here today. Notice again in verse number 1, notice the first work that He emphasizes. In fact, look at verse 4. Thine alms, that thine alms may be done in secret. That's not a word that we use today. What is an alm? An alm literally meant an act of mercy. It speaks particularly of giving. giving to the needy, helping the destitute. And certainly it speaks more generically of all of us helping those in need around us, but what an accurate description of the work of a mother, helping the destitute, giving to the needy, and giving and giving and giving again. When children are small, they remind me, a lot of times when they're that newborn, their mouth just kind of, almost like a natural reaction, you know. And they remind me of little birds in a nest, just chirping and hollering with their mouths wide open. And you can almost hear it, give me, give me, give me, give me. And here comes that mama bird giving that little one her food, her strength, her life. Giving and giving and giving again, the demand never seems to stop. Last night, my wife got home. And Asa had taken a long nap yesterday, so he was still awake after 9 while laying in bed. And he wanted to see Mama when she got home. And so Mama went up to the room there, and he said, Mama, tomorrow's Mother's Day. And she said, that's right, it is. He says, is that the day that moms give candy to all the children? Even on Mother's Day, it's what does Mama give? That's the perspective. And isn't it that the way that a mother's life is lived? It's giving and giving and giving and giving and giving again. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 15, it says, the horse leech hath two daughters, and give, give. We're all born leeches. And it's the mom who has the most pulled out of her. Young people that are here today, I hope you have grown up in this regard. I hope and pray that you're not just a leech in your relationship to your mother anymore. I hope you've come to the place where you cry out, what can I give? Not just give me, give me. And by the way, husbands, that ought to be us as well. A mother walked into her teenage son, and her son was using the weight room. And as he was using his makeshift weight room, she watched him work out on the bench press. She saw him move all those weights with several repetitions. She said, why is it that you can lift nearly 200 pounds, but you can't pick up your clothes? It's because he's a leech. It's because he's a leech. You know, for us, we need to realize, by the way, to honor mothers in the way that now we honor them as we give back. We give back and we lighten the load. We don't add to it. Now, mothers, in your giving, this passage right here in Matthew 6, it teaches us that you are to give unto the Lord, to give with pure motives. Don't do it for the praise of people. It's great to be praised. It's wonderful to be noticed. And I'm not excusing husbands and children for our failure to rightly praise and thank mothers. But moms, you're to do it to the Lord first and foremost. Give for His glory. Give for His kingdom. Give for His praise and not your own. Your Father who sees and knows your motives will reward you openly. So give, trusting God. Give, hoping in God. Give, loving your Father, knowing that giving pleases and rejoices His heart. Isn't it wonderful as a parent to be able to witness your child giving? One thing that my older children have that my younger ones don't is they have the means to make some money. Whether in mowing lawns, doing some babysitting, some chores around the house, they can make money. And of course, in making money, then they have some money to spend. The little guys don't. They're not always understanding why. One of the things that my wife shared with me recently was the way that one of my older children continually, when they go out and they find something for themselves, will purchase something small for the little ones just to make them happy. And you know, for me, as a father, that was exciting. Giving what they themselves had been given and giving it to another child. And you know, mothers, I can tell you right now, more excited than anybody is your Heavenly Father when He sees you excited to give. What's the joy of motherhood? It's interesting, in the book of 2 Corinthians, we read these words, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And with all the giving that a mother does, when she gives to the praise and the honor and the glory of God, there is a great joy in her life because she's a great giver. Thy Father who sees in secret will reward all your giving openly. Notice the second encouragement, a second work in this passage. The second one that is emphasized here is the unseen work of prayer. Look at verse 5. When thou prayest, Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I don't know today. I don't know which of us has spent time in prayer today. I don't know who came through the doors having prayed earnestly, which mothers even this morning had prayed for their homes and for their church and just for the fellowship with the Heavenly Father that they were seeking. I don't know who has prayed, because prayer is a secret, unseen work. I don't know who's prayed, but God does. Prayer is vital. It's a vital work for every godly mother. Prayer is part of fellowship. Two cannot live in relationship without communication, and prayer is that means of communication for the child of God with their Heavenly Father. Prayer is an expression of dependence. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Prayer is where spiritual victories are wrought. We've been given all the armor of God, and in taking that armor, we're to be praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer is asking. We're exhorted to ask, and to seek, and to knock. It's a marvelous thing to understand that the God of the universe has opened the throne room to you, and that He bids you to enter as you please and bring your needs and cares and desires to Him. So mothers, come boldly to a throne of grace. Mothers, understand today, the godly praying mother is perhaps the greatest gift you can bestow upon your child. No one cares for you, cares for your child like you do. No one knows your child like you do. No one longs to see your child succeed like you do. So there may be no one else but perhaps your husband who can pray for your child like you can. You have been put in a position to intercede for that little boy or girl like no one else can. Prayer is such a vital and important work. It's interesting. Jesus, on two occasions, marveled at great faith. One of those two occasions, it was a Gentile man. The other, it was a mother. You know the story? It's Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. A mother whose daughter was possessed of a demon. Can't imagine that mother watching the torment of her little girl, being helpless. But she heard Jesus had come. She had faith that Jesus could cast that demon out of her daughter, that God's grace was there for her. And so she came before Jesus and His disciples, and she cried out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." We read in Scripture, Jesus didn't say a thing to her. But that didn't stop her. She kept crying out to Jesus for His mercy and grace. She, the Bible says, cried after Him even more. Jesus then responded. He replied. He says, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." All of these things must have stung. Think of that first one. Have you ever prayed and thought, why doesn't God hear? Why does it feel like I'm praying to a stone wall, to a brick wall? Or why does it seem like my prayers aren't going higher than the ceiling? And then to hear those words of Jesus, to be thinking, oh, maybe I'm not good enough for God. Maybe I'm not in the right class of people. Even with those words, the mother pressed on in her asking and her crying. And she said, "Lord, help me." Jesus then replied. He said, "It's not fitting that the food intended for children should be given to dogs." You ever felt like God didn't care about you? You ever doubted that God was really good? Certainly this mother could question that. She was called a dog. In all of this, she pressed on. In her intelligence, and her wit, and her wisdom, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet even the little dogs enjoy the crumbs that fall from the children's table." She said, "I don't need much. I just need the crumbs of your grace." Jesus knew that woman's faith. Why did he behave the way that he did? Because he was drawing out of her that marvelous faith and that incredible love. And what a powerful thing it is when the love of a mother mingles with faith in God. And what a prayer she prayed, so that Jesus stood back and he made this statement: O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And for every generation after that, God has held up this mother and he says, pray again. Kneel again. Ask him for more. Keep knocking. God will answer. God is good. Persist. Moms, be praying, because the Lord who sees in secret will reward you openly. There's a third work that's mentioned here in this passage. It's one that's often neglected today. It's the work of fasting. You'll notice in verse number 16, moreover, when ye fast, by the way, notice that Jesus took it for granted that his followers would fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. He says, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What is fasting? It's you setting aside the physical desires in order to focus on those spiritual needs. I have a hunger need, but even more than that, God, I have a spiritual need. I have a need in this temptation. I have a need in my relationship at home. I have a need in my children's life. And fasting is a way that God says that we have additional power. In fact, the Bible says in one instance, the disciples were wondering why they were powerless. And Jesus gave them this statement. He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I wonder how many of God's children today understand this truth. Fasting not to be seen of men. Fasting just to get a hold of God. Just to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your power. I need your work. We see in Scripture that people fasted when they earnestly desired wisdom in Daniel chapter 9. The people fasted when they desired God's help and protection. The people fasted when victory was desired in seemingly impossible situations. People in the Bible fasted during times of special repentance, confession, and revival. People fasted when new ministries were launched in that early church, when men went forth to proclaim God's word and battle spiritual enemies. Fasting was necessary in spiritual ministry. There's an encouraging promise in all of this. And again, it's those words: thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What's the reward of prayer and fasting? First of all, it's those answers. Maybe not in the way that we wanted, but in the way that we need. Word of God gives us a promise: ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Mothers, today, I want to encourage you with these three truths and these three works. Understand that your Father sees, and there's a reward for all those unseen labors. Understand today that in those wonderful truths, that God calls you to give unto Him. And all that you do for your family, make it first and foremost to the Lord. Pray. Fast. Praise the Lord for this truth, not just for moms, but for all of us today. Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today thankful for this truth. And Lord, I just rejoice to know how you long to bless us. Lord, you don't leave us alone. There's never a time when the things that we do, though unappreciated by society, goes unappreciated by you. We're thankful, Lord, we can read in your word that our labor's never in vain. It's never empty. It's never fruitless when it's done for you and for your glory and by your power. So Lord, today I just pray that in these things, mothers would be encouraged in these unseen works. I pray that every mother, I pray that every father, every child of God present today would be busy in these unseen works of giving, of prayer, of fasting. Lord, we're thankful to read that our Father will see those things in secret and reward us openly. Lord, let us go about it in the right way, with the right intentions, the right motives. Lord, you know how much we all desperately need you. We need your work. I pray today if there's one in our midst that does not know you as Savior, they don't have a right to call you Father. Lord, I ask that today you draw them to yourself. Allow them to enter into this sweet relationship, having their sins forgiven, a home in heaven. Touch their heart in the invitation. Lord, I pray also for everyone that's here, whether it's mother or father, whether it's boy or girl. Lord, I just pray that today you would touch our hearts. Lord, make us what you want us to be. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's